How are you this week? You know, people have been saying it's hard to follow you because you keep changing. Yeah, it used to be that I taught one method, which was to do self-inquiry, like Robert taught. To look inside yourself, find the sense of I, and follow it. Follow it down into the emptiness. But I did that for 20 years. And all that you find with that method is emptiness. Until one day you can identify with the emptiness and you become emptiness. You become no self. That's the first awakening. Traditionally, no self. And then after that, no consciousness. You're not even consciousness. You're a deeper emptiness than consciousness. Than consciousness can provide, I should say. But, and that's a trip that many, many people have taken. Many are still taking. It's the most common one on Facebook, actually, to realize that you're not a self. It's kind of a denial. Can you imagine denying that you exist, that you're really emptiness? How bizarre can that be? Why on earth would anyone want to do that? Why on earth would one want to forget all about the world and one's own self in order to dwell in the witness, whether you call it awareness or pure awareness, or whether you call it the absolute, or whether you call it the witness that's beyond consciousness itself? What's the point? You've got a body, you've got a mind, maybe you have a family, you've got your own problems, you have a cat, you have a house. They're all a pain in the ass to maintain. But what are you going to do? Going to commit suicide? Or are you going to go and commit virtual suicide by dwelling in the emptiness all the time? The world is real, despite what I used to say. And it's real how? It's not real in the sense that the world as we generally see it is as it appears, with chairs and tables and people. That's on the surface. That's, you might say, is survival mode reinforced by society. But when the mind is turned off, and if you're very sensitive, you begin seeing a different world. Or a world differently. The world without mind. Sometimes it's exactly like it usually appears to you, but you're not thinking and everything just seems different. It seems more electric, more vibrant, the colors are more saturated, more brilliant. There may no longer be a separation between the felt sense of you and the environment like there was before. Or you might begin seeing different things. The world as energy, and yourself as energy. I talk a lot about energies now, and love, because that was my first transformation 3 years ago, was falling in love with a woman after being virtually a monk for 20 years, filled with emptiness. Filled with emptiness, knowing every aspect of emptiness and no self. And suddenly, there was a birth of a self that was in love. And this love grew and grew. The intensity grew and grew. The experiences grew and grew, far beyond anything I had ever known in my life. Where I could look inside and see love flowing like a golden liquid from my pelvis up to my brain, a river of love, golden love, of color love, like a liquid flowing upward 6 inches wide and an inch thick. I could feel energies moving throughout my body, beginning in my feet, everywhere. And they moved and moved, and as they moved, they felt blissful. And when they stopped moving, it sort of piled up pressure inside, and I could go into ecstasies. All of you, I'm sure, are feeling these energies now in some way or another, because I talk about them all enough. But the emphasis should not be on the energies. The emphasis should be on how I got there, which was by loving. It's by loving and feeling that love inside that you learn how to love yourself, because the love for the other is seen to be your own love for another, therefore you created it, therefore you are that love. And you, as love grows, it gets bigger and bigger. The energies get bigger and bigger. The bliss gets bigger and bigger. The ecstasies get bigger and bigger. Sometimes you disappear and become nothing. Sometimes everything disappears and you just become consciousness or awareness itself with nothing to be aware of. You're just barely aware that you're aware. Sometimes you're aware all night long, all during sleep, you're consciously aware that you're sleeping. And the energies build. They come as kundalini experiences, movements up and down the spine, or through the top of the head. They come sometimes as burning sensations, first in the skin and then later on in the muscles. Sometimes it feels like it penetrates to your bones. Some people have very painful experiences. Some have stigmata develop. One of my students had bleeding palms for a while. All kinds of magical things happen to you in terms of bliss and ecstasies, and also outrageous emotional love, anger, jealousy, hatred, anger, and more anger, and more anger. The flip side of love is not no love, it's hatred. You love somebody, and at some point, the shadow comes out. The shadow in you, the flip side of love, hatred for that person that you loved. And that has to be worked through, hopefully, without the dissolution of the relationship. It is not an easy path. It requires a lot of courage and perseverance. But the one technique I've always recommended is to use the Nisargadatta Gita. Use it as a meditation manual. Ignore what Pradeep says in terms of his commentary, and just stick to what Nisargadatta says. Find the sense of I am. Love the I am. Concentrate on it. Stay with it. Abide in it. Sink into that sense of I am. Gradually you develop a sense of presence, which is like an energy body around you, like an egg. And as you go downwards, your consciousness falls into your heart. And you begin to see the world without the use of the mind. And the world you see may begin to change and include those energies that you're now feeling in your sense of presence as the energy body. You start seeing and feeling, I should say, directly out of the heart area, directly out of the emptiness from within, rather than with the eyes through the brain. It's like you develop a seventh sense. You might call intuition the sixth sense, and this is beyond intuition even. It's a direct feeling of the world from your heart, a deeper contact than you're aware of before. It's always there, but you're not aware of it because the mind takes over and interprets everything. So the technique is the same. Find the I am. Feel the I am. sink down into the I am, love the I am. Then, number two, find somebody to love, whether it's a cat, dog, gerbil, monkey, human being, lover, a wife, husband, mother, father, child, and just practice loving. You fake it till you make it. It's like anything. Little steps. I was very fortunate because it came and visited me, and someone lit my heart on fire, and it exploded into that emptiness that I had developed over 20 years and all consumed me. But if you don't have that emptiness built through years of meditation, you might have to work at it more. Cultivate love like you cultivate a muscle or brain power. You practice. You practice loving. You fake it. And after a while, the faking becomes real. But then rage comes up, and you think, Jesus, how much love do I really feel with all that rage? This is another secret I'm going to tell you, is how to work with emotions to fuel your practice. You see underneath all of those, when you are empty enough so that love can explode in you and carry you away and fill you with bliss and ecstasy, anything can fill you full of bliss and ecstasy. Once you've been opened up to the emptiness and to love, either by loving the I am or welcoming it, feeling the I am and welcome its presence in you, welcome what it feels like, welcome where it's going, do you think? Wonder what it'd feel like if it got 100 times bigger, 100 times more powerful. With that sense of wonderment, with that sense of acceptance, look inside of yourself for the I am, which is yourself. Cultivate it. Let it grow into a sense of presence by attending to it all the time. Love another. Love another as yourself. For that love you feel for the other is your love. And at some point you'll recognize that the other person is only a trigger, is only there as a mirror to reflect your own inner love, which it comes from a deeper level of yourself. It comes from Turiya, the fourth state, the root state of consciousness, the so-called love bliss body by others. That, you might say, is your fundamental nature when you go deep enough. But, and you're going deep and you're encountering those love layers, what's going to happen is all of these emotions are going to come out. Once you start operating in that area, if you haven't cleared yourself out by years of psychotherapy or other kinds of practice, emotions are going to start racing out of control. And how do you deal with those emotions? And here's the point. You continue to practice emptiness, and here's what I mean. When the emotions come, just stop. Sit down or lie down. Become still. Don't move. Watch that emotion. And start feeling the emotion. Stop watching it, because watching it holds it away by objectifying it and holding it out there. Instead, stop watching it and let it come into you. Let the feeling come totally into you. But you have to be steady enough to just stop and let it come into you. And with a still mind, let it take you over. And then eventually pass right through you. And underneath that strong emotion, no matter what it is, jealousy, fear, rage, there's a layer of bliss. Because some of those emotions come so deep from inside of you that they're touching the bliss layer, the love bliss layer of consciousness. Now, I know that many people get into spirituality because they feel overtaken by emotions, strong rage, jealousy, anger, and they're saying, "You're telling me to get into it." I'm telling you, you can use these feelings, the energy of these feelings, to get deeper inside of yourself. What you should do is practice, if you have this particular difficulty of being overcome by emotions quite easily, is in the morning and the evening, for a half hour, sit in a chair and do nothing. Just do not move. Don't move a muscle. Keep your eyes closed or half open. Don't move. Whatever happens, don't move. If you're itching, don't scratch. If your legs hurt, don't move. If your stomach hurts, just persist. Don't move. Let the pain be there. Let the itching be there. Don't move. Don't move. This is the kind of practice I did for years as a monk. Just getting into the still mind. When you've done this long enough, and it's just a matter of practice, you'll find that, and when you can do it, pain in your body from sitting, not moving a muscle, can feel tightly cramping and then gripping and then terrible pain, and then suddenly when it seems intolerable, it'll go away. Just don't move. Don't give in to the pain. Don't give in to the distraction. Just sit without moving. You develop that ability, and when emotions come, you just watch them to identify them. Oh yeah, that's anger. Then stop watching the emotion. Identify with the emptiness, with you as a mountain, immovable mountain. And then invite the feeling to come. Okay, rage, come on, I'm ready for you. Invite the rage to overtake you. Invite the jealousy to overtake you. Invite the fear to overtake you, and not moving. Just as you didn't move with physical discomfort or the distraction of thought, welcome the sensation. Welcome it. I welcome you, fear. Let me become totally 100% fearful. Let me go out of my mind with fear. Let fear grab me totally. And it will. But because you're holding on to the emptiness, because you are the emptiness, you're also like a mountain. You're like emptiness, unmoved, untouched, and like a mountain of power that holds you still in the face of this unbearable pain, of these emotions that are out of control. So like a sphinx, you sit motionless and let the feelings go through you. You practice this for a few years, and I mean that, a few years, you can become imperturbable or as involved as you want. You've gained control over the emotions. And when the emotions come and you're sitting in emptiness, and you welcome them in emptiness, right after they've passed 90% through you, 80% through you, you can feel underneath your own bliss, your own happiness. And in the future, when that rage comes or that fear comes, you can feel them both at the same time. Rage and bliss. Rage and bliss. The bliss takes the sting away from the rage or the jealousy or the fear or the grief, because the bliss is mixed in it. We've got one foot in the fourth state in Turiya, deep down inside. And the other foot is resting in the middle of that emotion that you haven't wanted to feel till now. But now, because you're like a rock, you're like the ocean, vast, vast ocean that can absorb anything. You can absorb the hatred, the jealousy, the fear. Just let it pass through you. It may stick with you for some time. It might stick a day or two. But then it'll go through you. You can do the same thing with grief, with loss, with hurt. Just sit with it, unmoving. And you'll feel it go through you, almost like a bowel movement. It's like you can feel a mass of something moving through you, down and out or up and out. It's like an entity. This emotion is like an entity. And it moves through your body, or at least it moves through your energetic self, the sense of presence, and is thrown out through your mouth or through your anus, and it's gotten rid of, and it disturbs you no more until the next emotion comes up. And it's like becoming that mountain, becoming that emptiness, makes all the difference to your spiritual practice. It's easier to love. It's easier to feel hatred. It's easier to feel anxiety, jealousy, fear. They're just feelings. They're just emotions. Like thoughts are just thoughts. They're not real. I mean, in the sense that they don't persist. They go through you like a violin. They play a note and then pass away. So you identify with the emptiness or with the violin. That's the host for these thoughts. Not the thoughts themselves, not the emotions themselves. And then feel the bliss underneath. Now, how many feel energies flowing in their bodies a lot now, or in their sense of presence? Silviana? Ron, do you feel them? Dinesh? Now, The energies and emotions aren't nearly as important as love. You can develop the energies by playing with them, by practicing various forms of breathing, breathing in for one stroke and then holding your breath briefly and then out for three breaths. Do that several times repetitively. Or do bellows breathing for 30 seconds, and the energies will move through you even stronger, and it's, you can get a sense of them that way. But I'm only using energies and bliss and ecstasy to get you to go deeper to the love bliss body. It's another avenue in to the deeper levels of yourself, to self-realization. One way in is through use of the mind, finding the I am, loving the I am. Another avenue is loving another person or an entity, using that love to, what would you call it, uncover the bliss body inside of yourself. Another method is to use the emotions and the energy of those emotions to find the bliss as your fundamental, deep down layer of consciousness. It's all a matter of turning within. That's the whole thing, is turning within. You've had your attention directed outwards for 20 years or 30. It's going within, going inside of yourself and accepting what is there, what's really there, not what you think should be there, but what's really there. From the negative emotions to denial, to fear, to love, to connectedness with the world, and all the special states you go through, energies, etc. The real driving force is energy. Not energy, but is love, devotion, surrender. I got a comment today from someone who says you can't practice devotion. You can't practice surrender. It has to come to you automatically. Well, it's true. That can come to you automatically, but you can also, like love, learn to do it just by taking small steps. You may not be able to do work in a leprosarium or in a place that they treat dying people, I forget what they call it. But you can start by giving a homeless guy $5, a homeless woman that doesn't have any shoes, or during the winter give him a sleeping bag. You can feed some homeless cats that you see when you come home from work every night. You start taking little steps of getting out of your comfort zone and making effort to help other people. Become your brother's keeper. Fake it till you make it. Little acts of kindness. Little acts of surrender to your cat. To your lover. Instead of trying to get your way, maybe you let them get their way. Just practice, practice, practice. Now, I know it's done by the ego. And in a sense, it's done with an intent in mind. But after a while, it becomes effortless, just like meditation. At first, meditation is effortful. The mind wants to wander. The mind is easily distracted. But you just hold it in place. You focus on the self, on the I am, and you just go deeper and deeper with it. It's an active effort that eventually becomes effortless. The same thing with devotion. It starts off as performing a ritual, for example, in a Catholic church. And after a while, it becomes deep, deep surrender to something or somebody else. It doesn't have to come from the outside as grace all the time. You can develop it yourself. You can develop adoration yourself. You can develop it just by faking it. Even if it doesn't feel real, just try loving somebody. Giving to them, surrendering to them, taking care of them. You develop an attitude of humility, in other words. That can be developed too. You can all fly away in an instant of rage, though. But that doesn't mean that the practice hasn't been worthwhile. And many of the Advaita people out there are saying, why are you teaching all this bullshit? It's because I've seen how Advaita has been misused. One size fits all. One teaching fits all. You don't exist. The world doesn't exist. Why bother doing anything? Robert said, run away from the world. Pay no attention to the world. Pay no attention to your emotions. Pay no attention to your problems. But I say, that's what most of us have done. We've run from life. We often use spirituality just to run from feelings and complicated situations, try to simplify them and just reduce them to the simplest kind of philosophy possible. But I say, run towards your problems. Run towards the pain. Run towards the anger. Engage, engage, engage. Engage from emptiness. It's not a contradiction I'm teaching. I'm saying you need to be empty and then engage. And you can practice doing both at once by sitting each night for half an hour, not moving a muscle, just being quiet, maybe attending to the I am, but in any event, not moving no matter what. It builds fortitude. It builds courage. It's like a sitting meditation that's meant to overcome obstacles. So maybe I've obscured things by making it, saying that there's too many ways, and there are a lot of ways you can do. You can develop emptiness to handle emotions. You can follow the I am and do it with love. You can love somebody else or something else so that you feel the love inside of yourself so you can identify with love as yourself. You can practice humility, servitude, surrender, and loving just one little step at a time by faking it. Go to work in some charity, taking care of poor people or dying people. See what it's like. Go to an animal cause. Show people pictures of what happens in slaughterhouses. Make them aware of the suffering that's caused by their eating meat. Go with Captain Watson on one of his whale war ships to wage war against the Japanese fishermen who are killing the whales. In other words, do something. Serve something. Help somebody. Kind of Christian, isn't it? Real Christianity as opposed to born again or Catholicism. Unless it's really devotional to Catholicism. Let's have a chant. Let's go down to Samadhi Sitaram. 1, 2, 3, 4 on the left-hand side. At the count of four, hit the triangle. 1, 2, 3, 4.